This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith corks one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Cardinals there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal fans. Welcome to the first edition of Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast for the 2019 year here, following a great holiday season, I know for mine, and hopefully all of yours as well. I want to thank our friends Patios, as we come to you from the Patio Studios, of course, and my good friend Randy Green, InnovativeCompanies.com. Don't forget residential, commercial, industrial. He's got you covered. If you have a new project you're wanting to get going in the 2019 year, he is your man. He's got you covered, especially with that plumbing team up and running now. He's got all the bases covered for any project. There's no project too small, too big when it comes to innovativecompanies.com. Excited to get going today. We've been gone for a while. We had office closed, holidays fit in there too. I was fortunate enough to attend the American Baseball Coaches Association convention last week in Dallas. So, you know, we had some time off here. We did some deserved time off as well. But I'm excited to talk about St. Louis Cardinals, where we're at in our time off. The Cardinals did add that left-handed pitcher who was the one that I personally wanted to add. Now, I can't guarantee it's going to work out, but I like the upside, and I'm anxious to hear what my good friend on the m4byyachty.com hotline has to say, the one, the only, Benji Molina. What's going on, pal?
What's going on, guys? And I want to say Merry Christmas, Happy New Year's, and this is our year in Two Birds on the Back, buddy. This is our year, 2019. Write it down, man. We're going to have fun this year.
Well, I agree, and I'm with you on that. I think we're going to, listen, you can't tell me we're not a lot better. I mean, you just can't add. It just kills me. Paul Goldschmidt has been like the second best hitter in baseball, and people like are downplaying his acquisition all because now they're focused on, well, he's getting older and he's got, and it's like, God, it's like, okay, whatever. I'm not going to worry about today. And if I'm going to worry about today, Paul Goldschmidt is a great ad for the St. Louis Cardinals. They did add Andrew Miller while we were off. Is it a risky signing? It is risky because of his health, but what I've said all along is if I'm going to risk, see, here's the thing. Let's just get right into it, Benji. Here's the thing. Everybody's a risk. There's nothing guaranteed. Now, you make educated decisions based on, and listen, you can use your analytics. So whatever you want to do, you can take past performance, analytics, historic trends, things like that. You can take all that into account. And Listen, it's all risky, okay? I guarantee you, nobody has this thing 100% figured out. It's all about risk. So here's my thing.
I'm gonna throw you a name out there so you can tell the fans.
Okay.
I mean, we can tell the fans.
Right. So here's the thing.
Genesis Cabrera.
Yeah, I know our friend Kyle Reese from Prospects After Dark, who does bow ties and bullshits with me, loves the guy. And here's the thing. That's the other reason I like this signing. So here's my thing. The Cardinals have money to spend, okay? They didn't pay it. I mean, it isn't a ridiculous contract for Andrew Miller. Now, could he get hurt? Is it probable that he'll spend a little time on the deal? Probable. Absolutely it is. But so are other guys.
Reyes.
Yeah.
So did Reyes.
Yeah.
So did Tito. Cecil spent a long time in the DL, buddy. Don't forget that. All those years that he's playing, he still got two more, I think. He spent a long time in the freaking DL. I mean, we like that because he wasn't pitching good, but that's still time on the DL. What the heck difference it make? Let's take a chance. Let's keep him healthy. Let's think that he's going to be all right. Remember, we always talk about this, Jimbo. When we sign a guy, it's not to get hurt. We sign a guy because we want him healthy off the off season, coming in, and he's going to do a job for a full year. That's why we sign the guy for. We don't sign him because he's going to get hurt. Oh, shoot, he's going to get hurt. Let me not sign him. We don't know that. So coming up the off season, we want these kids to be healthy, and we sign them. That's the bottom line.
Well, and that's my thing. If I'm going to consider a risk, I'm going to risk on a guy that when he's right is dominant. See, that's my thing. I disagree with people when they sign Cecil, and I'm not even going back to all the people that told me, you'll see. Yeah, he'll have whatever. I'm not even into that. Like, I don't care about that. If people want to play that game, they can play it. I don't care to play it because I've said it 100 times. I hope I'm wrong. When I don't like a guy or I don't like that the Cardinals signed him, I hope I'm wrong. I didn't like it from day one. I didn't see it. Everybody tried to tell me about these numbers, and I'm like, listen, I watched the guy pitch a lot because I watch a lot of baseball, not just Cardinal baseball, and I've never once seen anything that led me to believe he was a guy worth that kind of contract. That being said, what I have seen, and I know he's not at spring chicken, and I know he's coming off injuries, but what I've seen from Andrew Miller when he's good is he is dominant. So I am going to take a risk because it's all a risk. There's not one reliever. There's not one reliever that they can go sign that you're going to go, I have no worries whatsoever. Everybody's a worry.
Yeah, well, tell him to go look at his numbers against left-handers. And then, like you said, you know, they like their numbers. They've seen their numbers. Okay, well, go look at Miller's numbers against left-handers. Don't we need that right now?
Yeah.
I mean, is it a risk, Jimbo? Yes, it's a risk because the injury was so is Britton. He's been in the DL. The Yankees went out for him. And so it's everybody over there, and it's a risk for injury. You never know. But we just hope and sign the people to play, to pitch, so they can give us their best year. So let's hope that one is right there. The one kid that is going to be intriguing to see, I hope they give him the opportunity, is that Genesis Cabrera, man.
Well,
I really, really do hope that he gets the chance to, because we need him. We need those two guys, Jimbo. Imagine those two guys in the bullpen, Miller and Cabrera.
Well,
pitching well, of course. I mean, it's easy to say
sure.
Right here because the season is not started yet. But pitching well, those two, instead of having Cecil, where you have Cecil, you have your manager second guessing if he could bring him in or not. Hopefully, and let me tell you this to the fans, I'm not dogging on Cecil. I'm just talking about the 2 years he haven't performed to his contract. So maybe next year is the year that he picks it up and pitch well, and we need him, right?
Sure, and I hope. And again, to my point earlier, I hope Brett Cecil has a great season. So here's how I see that playing out. So let's just be fair here. And this is where Cabrera comes into the Andrew. This is my thoughts on Cabrera with the Andrew Miller signing. The reason I think it makes sense is this. I think the Cardinals go into the season knowing that Andrew Miller, for sure, helps barring a health issue, is your guy out of the bullpen, right? Now, you're going to have a second left-hander. Who's that going to be? Well, I can promise you, all things being considered, Brett Cecil is going to get the first opportunity because he makes the most money, and you can't trade him because nobody wants him, right? So he's going to get an
That's
opportunity.
That's what we thought, though, Jimbo. That's what we thought. And then all of a sudden, at the end of the year, when we needed a lefty against some lefties, he sat in the bullpen.
Well,
That's
yeah.
what we thought.
Sure.
That's what we said about him. He's going to be the guy because he gets paid, and all of a sudden we needed a left-hander pitcher to get Rizzo out or whoever or Jelish, and he wasn't in the mound. He wasn't on the mound.
Well, I'm not talking about him pitching in a game. I'm talking about the roster spot on the 25-man. Cecil's going to get a chance to get that spot. Now, are the Cardinals prepared if he's bad in spring training to cut bait with him, and that's why they're playing this 40-man roster game? I don't know the answer to that. Nobody does. We can all assume. But because they do have all these lefties showing up in spring training, that is the one thing we can say. Now that they've got Miller on board, you're going to show up with Tyler Webb. You're going to show up with Shreve. Now this is barring a trade. You're going to show up with Shreve. You're going to show up with Webb. You're going to show up with Cecil. And we all know that Cabrera's there. See, that's the thing for me with Cabrera. Cabrera, to me, if I'm a betting man, like if I had to put money on it, Cabrera starts the season, barring injuries, trades, whatever. Cabrera starts the season at AAA. And if for some reason Miller falters due to health, I think Cabrera's that answer. But I think they try to.
Cecil doesn't do the job how he's supposed to either. So he's going to be there in the roster, you said, right? So
yeah, I mean,
if Cecil breaks down again or doesn't pitch well, he should be the first guy up, even though Shreve has proven he's okay, but he's not devastating.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Webb is more like a starter type of guy. I see him. Gumber has shown that he can start, but relieving is not. He didn't do well last year in relieving, which I like him as a starter. So those are the guys' names that are going to be there, man. So whoever gets the ball in spring training, man, it's going to be a battle. Spring training is going to say a lot.
Good. It should be. It should be a competition. So I like that. But we'll see. Listen, when it comes down to that, here's my thing on it. And you know, I'll go into the small little break here with this, and we can hit it after we come back. I brought it up on a show before the holidays, and I'm going to say it again because I still see this out there. Okay? And it's coming from the same people that bitched and moaned the whole time that Mike Matheny cost us playoff appearances. Okay? He's gone. John Mabry, gone. They are gone. So according to everybody that bitched and complained, we are at least 5 games better. I said all along when people said 10 to 15 games, I'm like, well, you're crazy. But whatever. Now all of a sudden it's, well, they don't win. Okay, that's fine. If they're so bad and they lost you so many games, then Mike Schilt should win you a whole bunch of games, right? Or whoever it is. So my point is, they're gone. And we added, go look it up, folks. I'm not making this up. Especially all of you guys that like analytics. Go look it up. Paul Goldschmidt has been the second best offensive player in the league. Okay? He is a dominant offensive force. You've added that to your lineup, and you went out and got Andrew Miller, okay? Something that we've been seriously lacking. So combine all that together, and if we don't make another move, and again, this is coming from a guy that wants to make another move, okay? Like, you can't convince me right now if the price, like, this is what I'm going to talk about after the break. You can't convince me right now that if Manny Machado is really only going to get 200, and I say only, if Manny Machado ain't signing for $300 million and you don't make an offer on that guy, you're a fool. You're an absolute fool to not say, yeah, I'll jump in that market. You're a fool, okay? That being said, even if we don't do another thing, how can we not be better, judging by everything I just told you? So we're going to hit that in just a minute, and I'll get my thoughts from my comrade, Benji Molina, there as well. But first, we want to remind you to check us out at twobirdsonabat.com. I'm going to ask you to subscribe to the show there. It's free. That way, every time we put the show out, you'll get a notification, and it'll be downloaded and ready for you to listen at your convenience. Also, on the twobirdsonabat.com, you can listen to the show actually there if that's the way you prefer to do it. Do your shopping on Amazon as well, as it helps my producers, Brian Crock and Andrew Allen. That Two Birds on a Bat is part of the great network at lineupmedia.fm, home to Yo Radio, the newest streaming platform that you can download on your mobile device. You guys will love it. It's free. Great new stations coming on board every day. Of course, you can find us on social media, which is what we really love most about interacting with our fans, at Birds on a Bat Show. Follow us on Twitter. And again, you do that by simply in the search bar typing in at Birds on a Bat Show. You guys follow us. If you're a Cardinal fan, we're going to follow you back. Facebook's our big push, as always. Go to Facebook, type in Two Birds on a Bat, go to our page. First off, make sure you've liked and followed our page. And then the pin post, that'll be our show, whichever one the latest is. We do Mondays and Thursdays with Benji Molina. And on Wednesdays, we have Bow Ties and Bullshit that I do with Kyle Reese, Brendan Schaefer, and, of course, everyone's favorite Moe's Algorithm. When you see those pinned posts, make sure you've liked it. Make sure you've thrown a quick comment on it. And most importantly, share it. Once you've done so, you're eligible for the wonderful prizes that we've been giving away throughout the offseason. Compliments of our friends at m4byyachty.com. Instagram. We're going to try to do more and more with Instagram as the show continues to grow. Two Birds on a Bat Show there as well. We'd love you to follow us. And, of course, as I always do, I can't thank all of our partners enough. You heard me mention Randy Green, InnovativeCompanies.com, and Patty O's. I want to remind everybody about our friends over on Watson Road when it comes to barbecue. Adam's Smokehouse. I mentioned that I was going to, that I was in Dallas for the ABCA. You know, there's barbecue joints down there. They just don't compare, folks. I'm telling you, we are very blessed to have some great barbecue here in St. Louis. Multiple places you can go, but we're going to recommend that you go to Adam's Smokehouse on Watson. See our man named Mike. Again, I've never sent anybody there. We've gotten back tons of feedback. Nobody's ever went there and not sent us something saying, thank you, you were right. Absolutely amazing barbecue. That's Adam's Smokehouse on Watson. They are delivering. Find out if you're in their zip code range. And, of course, you can always call in for catering needs or bulk orders. And Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays now open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget that, so you can grab it a little bit later, or if you're one of those that work a little bit later like me. So that being said, Adam's Smokehouse, that's where you want to go. I was in Dallas, and I was down there with some of my friends from the Missouri Gators, Illinois Gators, Gators Baseball Academy. The off season's rolling. I found so many things interesting at this, and was able to attend a lot of clinics, a lot of speaking engagements from coaches, guys at the highest level. And again, that group over there, I mean, they were there getting better, already really good at what they do, but everybody over there that's involved in that organization trying to get better. Very blessed to be affiliated with them on the show, of course. And again, that's GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. Their four-pillar system is second to none. And I can promise you, you know, you'll really feel good about the investment that you're making in your son or daughter when it comes to the great game of baseball or softball. They've got that new Hit Tracks going over there. That's their big push right now. You know, the kids love it. It's a great tool, whether you're doing it for training or for fun and competitiveness. Give them an opportunity. That's GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. Benji, my man. I'm seeing again, we've been gone for a while. We did sign Andrew Miller. I've brought up the Paul Goldschmidt thing. We've got a new coaching staff that everybody should be excited about, which I had an opportunity to meet and listen to down in Atlanta. First off, let me tell you this. In Dallas, the coaches convention down there, it's an opportunity really to be around everybody involved in the game of baseball from a coaching standpoint. And, you know, you typically are down there thinking to yourself, well, I mean, this is, you know, this is amateur baseball, things like that. Well, I'm here to tell you that's not the case anymore. I started to go to that a few years ago due to that exact reason. But the truth of the matter is, as it's progressed as a, I guess with analytics and things like that, what I've noticed is that there's tons and tons and tons of major league clubs now present, as they're all, you know, making this chase for, you know, how to do a better job of coaching and teaching players. The one thing that amazed me the most was listening to all the young guys and all the guys that are involved in the game of baseball now, and from a hitting aspect, that are all, I mean, again, I've said it once, I'll say it again. These guys, these up-and-coming guys, are all kinesiology guys. They are all guys that deal in the way the body moves. And I, again, I'm friends with some of these people, and to sit in on some of these conversations and listen to them talk about hitting, and it's one thing when I've gotten to do it, whether it's kids or high school students trying to get to college or even college players. It's another thing to listen to them compare guys like Jose Altuve to Carlos Correa, because the Astros people were there, and then the one of the new Reds guys was in on this, and then obviously everybody knows I'm friends with Justin Stone, who's with Chicago Cubs, you know, and Jacob Cruz, who's now with Pittsburgh. To sit in on this conversation, Jeff Albert was there, the St. Louis Cardinals coach, the new coach, and to listen to these guys talk about hitting will almost make your head spin. I mean, it's just not what people think it is. It's an absolutely amazing thing. That being said, you know, let me tell you something. This new hitting coach from the St. Louis Cardinals is absolutely the complete polar opposite of John Mabry and the way he approaches. So we're going to see what effect that has on the team. That being said, you can coach till the cows come home, okay? And that, and we talked about this as well down there. Some guys are just you know, they're just guys that transcend you into another universe. There's two of those guys still on the open market. And listen, to hear these guys who are the best in the game at teaching talk about these two guys that are still available on the market and how good they are and how much of a difference they can make to a club. I have to ask you, are you surprised? Let's start the conversation this way. Are you surprised that it's January 7th and we still don't have a home for Bryce Harper or Manny Machado?
No. I'm not surprised, Jimbo. No. The only teams that were going to sign him quick were the big name teams, right? Like LA and the Yankees or his own team. Those were the only ones. Once those teams are hesitating, they're going to slow down, man. We discussed this last show, I think. It was just once those teams go away and they're like slow down a little, not chasing him, it might be too much. I mean, everything slows down. No, everybody can afford a kid that wants $400 million. Remember that. Not even $300 million. Not many teams out there can afford to spend $300, let alone $400. So you're talking to $200, $250, $200, $150. I get it. You know, there's more teams that can jump on that. But $300 and $400, once you have that number out there, their limitations are like 1, 2, 3. That's it. That's probably three teams that are going to jump on that. And we're seeing it right now because they're slow. Nobody wants to jump on it. They're waiting and waiting and waiting, waiting for the players to get desperate a little bit. Look at Grandal's chance to be a free agent, right? He's a free agent now. And look at Grandal. I mean, he's taken forever to sign, which a lot of teams need catching, and he's a really smart catcher. Calling games, a good game. He's a good hitter, not a great hitter like 350 or anything like that, but he's a good hitter. He's quite good. So, and he's having trouble looking for a home. How can you explain that when teams are dying with no catchers out there? There's teams that don't have a catcher that can support the whole system or whatever. They're not that good. And you have Grandal coming from the last 3 years amazing. And he cannot even find a job. That tells you, man, sometimes the teams are hesitating. It takes a little time, Jimbo. It slows down, you know? I'm not surprised.
Well, the thoughts are, and again, you can only go by what you read, right? Like, you know, I'm no disrespect, but, you know, the rumor, you know, the guys that have a source and rumors, I mean, whatever. I'm not even going to get into that. They got to do what they got to do. But the truth of the matter is this. The reality of it is, I mean, you have to believe, like, if you're going to add two and two together, the reality of it is these guys are obviously not getting the contract offers that they thought they were going to get. So it's going to drag, and it's going to drag, and it's going to drag. Now, the reports, and again, we're back to their reports, and I understand that. You can only trust them to so far. But now it's appearing, and again, if you're to trust this, it's saying that Machado is not getting near the $300 million. Like, everybody thought it was a foregone conclusion that he would make over $300 million. Not happening. They're saying he's in the 2 to 250 range. Now we're back to the conversation we had a little while back, or I know I've had with people that said, okay, the whole Stanton versus Bryce Harper thing, you know, that's still, even if the Cardinals were going to take $250 a Stanton, you know, and Harper wants $350, that's $100 million more dollars. It's not like it's an extra few million bucks. We're talking about $100 million more here, okay? So, let me let you in on this.
There's 100 million reasons to hesitate.
That's right. So let me let you in on this secret, though. If Manny Machado signs for $250 million, the same amount of money you were willing to take on for Stanton, and you're not interested, you got a problem. Because I'm here to tell you, that guy, and people aren't going to want to hear this. They're not going to want to hear this. But I'll put Machado at third base all day long, and if you're gonna tell me I gotta play Carpenter, but then I'm sorry, Colton Wong's out. I'm sorry. I know people don't like that. But if you tell me that my infield is Paul Goldschmidt at first, Manny Machado at third, Paul DeJong at short, and And I'm going to have Matt Carpenter at second base. I'm going to go ahead and do that. And I'm going to trade Colton Wong. Because I'm here to tell you. If you don't.
It's good. It sounds good when you have my shadow in.
Sure. So that's my point. Like,
makes the difference.
Yeah, like I don't want to hear, well, we've already moved Carpenter. I don't want to hear that. Because now you have, I'm telling you, that's if the guy signs for $200 to $250 million. Because nothing's changed. He is still a once-in-a-lifetime type player for your franchise. Okay.
Yep, and a sleeper is Anaheim. Don't sleep on that either.
No, I think that I'm with you. I think that Anaheim would probably, you know, they've had a little bridesmaid thing going on this year. They've been in on. I did see a report. They've been in on almost every guy that's signed and haven't gotten them yet. So they're probably itching to do something over there.
Yeah, they're like what you say. They're waiting for that money price to go down to 150 to 200, and they might do it, man. They could be a sleeper. The Dodgers could do it in a heartbeat. They're going to have Siegler back, but they can move him. Man, those are sleepers. If you tell me right now that – I love Colton Wong. I mean, he's a good guy and he's a good friend. But if you're going to tell me here he's going to be traded for Machado, at least it's worth it, right?
Yeah,
at
and what we – yeah.
At least it's worth it because it's Machado.
Yeah, and what you're saying there is the spot in the order, the spot in the lineup traded, because obviously Machado's a free agent and Colton Wong would just be moved, I'm assuming, for something else. So, see, and that's my thing. So I don't
– coming off the bench.
Well, yeah, however you want to do it. I mean, again,
defender.
Yeah, no issue here. Absolutely no issue here. I just, you know, as I said, and I'll say it again, a guy that makes a huge difference that now all of a sudden, you know, listen, I've said this 100 times over. Do I think the St. Louis Cardinals should sign one of those guys and give them whatever it takes? Absolutely. Why? Because I think they have money. But I also believe that if from a business standpoint, you want to sit there and say, Jim, you don't know what you're talking about. It's a bad investment, and I can explain it to you. If you want to come in here, I'll tell you. And you can explain it to me all day long. As a fan, I'd like to have the players. Now, if you can explain to me and show me that financially there's a certain point where it's just crazy and blah, 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 even though I may not like it, I can understand it, okay? I can understand that. What I can't understand, and this is reality, this isn't like wonderment here. This is reality. You're never going to make me understand how you were willing to take on $250 million of Stanton and give up prospects, by the way, but yet you wouldn't give Manny Machado $250. I can buy the argument that Derek Gould made, or not even he made, it was just reality, that, okay, yeah, I get it. Everybody's saying they were going to do Stanton, but they won't do Harper. I don't understand, blah, 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 10 years, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, there is a difference. There's a big difference between $250 million and $350 million. I get that. But the last time I checked, there's no difference between $250 million and $250 million. And let's be quite frank. Okay, Stanton's not going to win any, is not going to make anybody believe in him as an outfielder, like a difference-making outfielder. Manny Machado's a really good third baseman.
And Machado is a way better player than – and Stanton's a good player. I'm not saying
sure,
he's not.
Sure.
He is a great player.
Sure.
But Machado is on top of Giancarlo Stanton right now, this minute.
So that's kind of my thing. So, if you have the opportunity and it's there, I don't know how you don't take it. But that being said, we'll see what happens. Again, this is interesting. He may sign for $300 million. I don't know. All I can talk about are reports. And, you know, I was at this meeting, not this meeting, I was at this convention. I saw numerous people from major league organizations that were engaged in unbelievable conversations about hitting and about pitching and about all the things that in the new training technique. I mean, it's just fascinating, absolutely fascinating. But
I believe some stuff and I don't believe some other. So I'm in the middle.
Sure. But to listen to them talk about these guys as hitters, you know, like what makes them great and the things that they do. And you know, basically they're trying to learn why, you know, like why is Machado so good? Why is why was Albert Pujols so good? And what made them great? And how do we help others become, even though they may never be that good, how do we help guys get better? That's what it's about, you know?
You know what makes them better, Jimbo, in my opinion, and this is for the fans too? Their brain. Their brain makes it better. Their brain makes their better players, Jimbo. They already have the ability. They already probably have the same strength as Albert Pujols or Goldschmidt or Machado, but they don't have the brain. They don't have the disciplined brain that Machado and Pujols and all those guys. They see through their brains. They see things different than a normal kid. That's what I'm trying to say here. Their brain is not different. Jimbo, it's not about having the biggest arms. It's not about having the fastest legs. It's not about having the biggest chest or whatever you want to call it. It's about having the biggest brain, the intelligence of what the pitcher's doing to you, the laying off some nasty sliders so you can get a hanger, the laying off the fastball two-seamer inside so he can bring it to the middle of the plate. The ability of not chasing high pitches. The ability of your brain telling you, okay, picking the ball up from the pitcher really quick so you can tell and you can let go balls and strikes. You can hit better strikes. You're going to crush the ball strikes. So guess what? The brain is the key here. You put the brain of Mike Trout to another kid that is a AAA and he'll take off. You put the brain of Pujols to a kid in AA, and he'll take off. He'll be a Pujols. He'll be somebody like that because that's what makes the difference on this kid. It's not necessarily the ability to play because we all had those skills. We all had that little ability on the average level. But what makes these guys more and more valuable and more talented than us, it's their brain, their ability to be disciplined in their brain, the ability to do these things, man. I'm telling you. Believe me.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I've brought it up. People in a conversation I had about Grichuk in a game that the and Piscotty, I remember having this conversation, and I just said, listen, they're good players. Nobody said they weren't good players, but watch the great players, and you'll see what the difference is. And to your point, it
but
is.
But what's Grichuk? He looks like a wall. He's like a wall. He's built up as a baseball player. He's built up strong. He has great shoulders, great arm. He's strong. He got great legs. He can fly running. He could do everything. Why isn't he an all-star? Why isn't he Albert Pujol type of player or a Mike Trout type of player? Why is he not like those guys? Because it has to happen in your brain. It has to happen with your discipline in there. And it has to happen with Pujols didn't chase those sliders off. But if you put Grichuk in there, he might chase off and get more strikeouts. You know what I'm saying? So it comes from the brain, man. These guys are special. And baseball has gone away from these because they want to compare everybody because they're body types. No, man, it's their intelligence. It's their brain. They are over the top from anybody else. What makes Barry Bonds good hitter, Barry Bonds was hitting swing at balls. Well, what happens when you swing at balls? You get yourself out. What happens when you swing at strikes? Well, he has that discipline in his brain telling him not to swing or yes to swing. He has that. What happened to Mike Trout, man? He's a stud. But why? Because he has that brain, man. He has that intelligence. So all these superstars have it a lot higher than the normal average players. That's what makes the difference, you know?
And that's what I was saying. In that game, in that particular game, a game the Cardinals should have won against Boston, you know, we had a chance, and the way our at-bats went, chase slider, chase slider, chase slider. Mookie Betts wound up winning the game all because he had the ability. If you watched his at-bat, he didn't chase the slider and then got a pitch to drive.
But it's not only the hitting, right? We're not
sure.
Saying
no, it's everything.
For the fans,
yeah.
for the fans. You know, like let's say Mike Trout in center against Grichuk, which is, I'm just picking Grichuk because this comes to my mind, right?
Yeah, because he was so talented. This isn't a knock on Grichuk. He's an unbelievably talented player.
Yeah, he's a talented guy. So you put them both together, and Mike Trout will get to more balls, you know, like bloopers and balls in the gap, than Grichuk. And they're both the same talented. But what happens is that Mike Trout will move three steps to the left because he knows he's going to pull that slider. Or Mike Trout will move inside, like short, because that guy might get a broken bat in this pitch or a broken bat in this at-bat. The pitcher that we have is smarter. You see what I mean? So his brain might work better and faster and smarter than most of the guys. That's what makes it different. That's what makes those guys Hall of Famers. That's what makes those guys the top, and we stay in the bottom because our it's not the same thinking, you know?
Yeah, it's I tell you, if I learned anything more, as I, you know, and you know that, I've talked to you about this before, I'm consumed with it, but it's just listening to where it's went and how hard it is to hit, and basically, you know, as these guys all say, they can make you better, but at the end of the day, you have to have an approach at the plate, and if you don't have a great approach, and everybody acts like, well, then just have a better approach. It's just not that simple. Some guys don't have the ability to do the things that other guys do, and that's why their approach is what it is. They know that
there's a reason why you chase the slider, buddy. There's a reason why you chase that high pitch. It's not because the heck of it. It's the reason for it. So when your brain, when you're not at the top of those guys' level, that's why you see the difference on players, right?
Yeah, I mean, they speak in terms of like milliseconds, like trying to improve something by a millisecond, because that's really the difference between being able to, you know, pull the trigger or lay off. I mean, it's unreal. Like I said, it was a fascinating thing. I go every year and have been now for this is my fifth one. And
after we're talking about all this, Jimbo, that we're saying right now, after we're saying all these, you have to hit the ball.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's the thing. I think we take a lot of things for granted when it comes to players. I mean, you've talked about it a lot. We look at minor league players and what they do, and we just assume that it translates to the major league level. It's just not always the case. It's just so different, and it's just, you know, the biggest thing you can get at the minor league level is just at-bats. Just, you know, just
you
countless
play.
At-bats.
You play every day.
Yeah.
You play every day. You're playing every single day. It's not 40,000 people in the stands. It's not the highest level. Obviously, when you go to minor league, you can have four game thing, and they might have one prospect, and the rest are okay. You know, they're getting there. When you get to the big leagues, all five of them are really good pitchers. When you get to the big leagues, all relievers, they're not working on their sliders, like in AAA, AA. They're getting people out. They're trying to work on the fastball inside in the minor leagues. When in the big leagues, you're doing it. You get the top of the top in the big leagues. There's nothing higher, man. So when you have guys that play out there in the minor leagues, yeah, they're going to be better because they're playing. But if you have a guy in the major leagues and you let him play, you might see a difference. You might see a big difference on the kid. You know, it might not be the same as AAA, man. And we've seen it. We've seen it a bunch of times, you know, different types of guys.
Yeah, it's... You know, you hear guys say, you know, see ball, hit ball. There's a lot more to it than that. I mean, it's just like you don't have much of a chance if you just get in the batter's box and think, well, I'm just going to, whatever he throws here, I'm going to hit it. If that's the way you approach it, you're starting at such a major disadvantage, it's not even funny. It's not even close.
Oh, it's your brain. It's knowing when the guy likes to throw a changeup. It's knowing when the fastball's coming. It's knowing to be ahead of the fastball. It's knowing in your brain that the guy likes to pitch away. It's knowing that you have to let the ball travel because he throws a little slower. It's knowing how the sinker inside, you got you got to lay off of it because it's always a ball. You have to wait for that one to push it out to the plate. You got to let go of that slider because it's breaking down. Your brain has to tell you, lay off that slider. Your brain has to tell you, don't chase that fastball. Your brain, I mean, there's so many freaking, and on top of that, Jimbo, there's two things. On top of that, you have to know the angle of the pitcher, how he throws the ball, how the ball is going to break out of his hand, because every pitcher is different. The slider on Alex Reyes is the different slider than Carlos Martinez. It's a different slider than Jordan Hicks. It's a different slider, and we can keep going and going and going. They're all different. So you got to know all these things. You got to face these guys. And on top of that, the last thing, they throw 100. They throw 98. They throw 99. They throw 97 miles an hour. It's not like they're just little leaguers. They throw 95 and over. So think about all these things that I just threw at you right there. And that's in the brain of the hitter. Whoever can have that in their brain and not panic at the plate will be a great hitter. You know, whoever can make it work. That's what I'm saying about the brain. You got to know all these, you know, in the matter of seconds. And then you have to know to be smarter. And whoever's smarter makes the better players.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing. I've watched, you know, I can't even tell you the amount of hours a week I spend watching video on hitters trying to get better at the other stuff that I do. And it amazes me. It really does. Certain things that you thought were reality that aren't, certain terms and verbiage that you would use to describe things you realize are completely off base. It's, you know, what you guys do, you've done the job. I mean, the things that you have to do to help guys perform, and especially as you ramp up the ladder, right? Like we're talking about the major leagues. I mean, think about what we were saying earlier. We were talking about the pitching. You know, these guys are devastating pitchers. I mean, just devastating, right? So, you know, imagine trying to hit it. I mean, it just amazes me. Like I said, as amazing as pitching is to me, because with technology, there's no shortage of what we see now from pitchers, right? Like the things that we see are amazing, right? What amazes me more?
Right now, Jimbo, let me tell you this, and then you can comment on this because I thought it was very interesting. I saw this. Why we think Verlander is better than Carlos Martinez? When Carlos Martinez has a sinker throwing 99 and a great changeup and a great slider and a good curveball, and he throws 100, and Verlander throws 95, 96, 97, why do you think Verlander is better than Carlos?
Well, I would say Verlander's more of a pitcher. Like he controls the at-bats more. That's what I think.
See, well, that comes from the brain, right?
Sure, yeah.
That comes from the top of your mind telling you, I can do this and I want to do this. I'm going to throw it right in the corner. Bam, I'm pitching. Bam, I'm pitching. I'm pitching. And Carlos Martinez, it might not be at the top of Verlander yet, not because of ability. Because he has it. He has all the pitches. He has the ability. He works hard. He does everything Verlander does. But when it comes to pitching, he doesn't execute the pitches as Verlander does. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
In Carlos' brain, it haven't reached. I'm not saying he's dumb. Don't get it twisted. And Carlos' brain, he haven't reached the top of Verlander yet, the one that Verlander have, he's able to control all that. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, it makes sense
to
me.
Brain,
absolutely makes sense to me, and that's why when people talk about Carlos and his mental approach, people take it personal and they think you're talking about him as a person. It has nothing to do with him as a person. This is about, like, when people say he needs to mature on the mound, and if you're taking that as it has something to do with him personally. Well, then you need to stop the conversation because it has nothing to do with that. It doesn't have anything to do with his hair color, and it doesn't have anything to do with what he does here or there. This is now. There are people out there
he
that
has
want
to do with doing his job.
That's right. Now there are people out there who want to say, "Well, it's an example of how he can't seem to keep it together. That's fine if that's the way you want to go with it. I don't care. That's your opinion. And you're entitled to your opinion. That's fine. Well, but when it comes right down to it, you know, he's just got to mature as a pitcher, not as a man, you know, as a pitcher. I mean, so anyway.
Maturity is so funny to talk about, so tricky, because maturity could be many, many reasons, many ways,
sure.
Like you just explained. Maturity could be the behavior outside baseball. Maturity could be behavior inside the dugout. Maturity could be linked into a maturity inside the clubhouse. Another maturity could be hitting. A maturity that we saw from Colton Wong in defense. The maturity of pitchers that get better by maturing, right? Like this case, Carlos needs to mature on the mound. So maturity is kind of like a tricky question, word that we need to be careful what we're discussing with, because Carlos maturity, when you see Carlos dominating, you see his maturity, right? But when you see Carlos struggling, you're like, oh, he has to mature. He doesn't have it. You see what I mean by tricky? That
sure.
Word is kind of it's kind of tricky. When you have a guy that can do the things in his brain, his mind is working fine, he's winning games, he's having a good time on the mound, he seems mature, you know? But once you see him struggle a little, you'll see more things coming out, and then you see, oh, man, he needs to mature. So maturity is pretty tricky. Does he need to mature on the mound? I think he needs to do his job on the mound. I don't like to say maturity. I like to say he needs to do his job on the mound like he's very, very capable of doing it, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, then let's make this clear, too. It's just really about, I think the biggest thing for pitchers and hitters, if you act like you played the game, and if you talk to guys, every pitcher, every player, it's not always going to be perfect and rosy for them. It's their ability to control those situations and kind of put a stopper in it and say, okay,
yep.
Bad day today. It's been a bad, I'm in a little bit of a slump here. How do I bring it around? You know what? Not letting an inning blow up on you. Getting out of a jam. I just didn't start off. Guess what? The first couple innings didn't go as well as I thought on the mound. We're down a couple runs. My job now is to lock it down, give my bullpen a chance by pitching as long as I can and keeping us in this game. Those are the types of things we're talking about here, instead of it just unraveling all the time. And that's hitting. You know, it's like, hey, I've had some bad at-bats here lately. I need to get back to doing some things. So those are the things we're talking about here. We're not talking about, oh, you're just an awful human being and you can't do this because you're terrible. What we're talking about. When it comes to these great players, that's why they're great. I mean, make no mistake about it. There's a reason why these guys are great. All these guys are physically blessed. But there's a reason why great players are great.
Remember what we discussed. The mind and your brain makes you a Hall of Famer, makes you a top dog, you know, top player. So other than that we said and discussed all these 15, 20 minutes about great players, you have to do your job. If you're Mike Trout, one of the best players in the game, why is he one of the best players in the game, Jimbo? Because he do his job. Because he's doing what he's asked for, what he's paid for, which is hitting home runs, hitting RBIs, run scores, having great defense, being a good teammate, all these things. That's doing your job. Why Pujols was the best at 10 years? Over the 10 years. Why was he the best, Jimbo? Because he did his job. Because he did it. He wasn't potentially hitting 40 home runs. He was hitting 40 home runs. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what makes a great player. Why Machado is asking for $300 million? Why? It's not a given.
Sure.
It's not because he said, Santa Claus, please bring me $300 million. No, he's asking because of what? Because he does his job. He's a great defender, one of the best out there, has got a one gold glove, and he's always good hitter, 330-plus home runs and 100 RBIs and 100 runs scored with 100 walks. So when you talk about great players, what makes them great other than their brain and their mind and all that stuff that we discuss is that they do it. They do it. I can name you a bunch of players that they have the ability that Trout has. They run faster, maybe. They're better defenders, but do they do it in the game? No. That's why they're not great, because they don't do it. Why Carlos has not been great pitcher? Because he's been either being hurt or he's either not doing the job, right? But when Carlos is on and he's done great, he looks like a great player because he's doing the job. You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
When the guy is doing the job and is doing it at a high level like we are, why Yelich is a great player? Why Yelich? Because he did the job. Why Paul Goldschmidt is a great player? Because he's done the job and he did it last year again. You see what I'm saying?
For sure.
You have to do it to become a great player. You don't want to be a great player with 5 home runs, 10 home runs in a season. Of course you're not going to do it. You're not going to be a great player. You see what I'm saying? You have to do your job, and I love that. I mean, I believe that 100%. You have to do your job and do it to become a great player.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. That's the thing. We can, you know, we talk about what guys should do, and then that's where I get upset, and I do get mad sometimes or frustrated. No, I'm going to say frustrated. I don't know if I've ever really even been mad, but I would say frustrated with people is because the expectations is that when somebody doesn't do well, it's somebody else's fault. And I'm like, why does it have to be somebody else's fault? It's really like the thing that infuriated me last year was everybody got upset when Mike Matheny said, you know, hitting's really hard. Yeah, it is. It's fucking real hard. So why are we sitting here dissecting it and breaking it down like this guy's a failure because he's struggling? You're talking about something that 0.00001% of the population can even do, much less do well. So I just can't stand how we act like hitting, pitching well, doing all this is a foregone conclusion. It is not. That's why when you have a player that has proven to be able to do it for a good stretch of time, young and in their prime, like a Machado or a Harper, I'm more than willing to roll the dice on those players and do what I have to do, because we have seen countless times and again, young players that are supposed to be the second coming of Christ that don't work out. Okay, it happens all the time. I'm going to say something that drives me crazy. Was I excited about Oscar Tavares? I was. Of course I was. Everybody was excited about it. But to act like he was going to be the next Albert Pujols is crazy. You have no idea who he was going to be. You have no idea what he was going to be. So to act like that's the only problem here and just dismiss all of our problems on Oscar Tavares passing away is silly. It's absolutely
very
silly.
True.
You can't do that. It's just not realistic. There are so many players every year that are the next Oscar Tavares that don't work out. It happens all the time.
Why don't you wait until like at least 5 years in the big leagues and then you can say, wow, that's an Albert Pujols right there, man. Why say 2 years before he even makes it to the big leagues, oh, wow, this is an Albert Pujols coming right here. Oh, this is a Yadi Molina coming up. Oh, yeah, this is the next Machado right there in Baltimore. Oh, yeah, 2 years. He haven't even touched the big leagues, and you're already comparing him to Machado or Jeter or whoever's in the big leagues, and you're below him. You haven't even done anything. What are you talking about? He's the next Pujols. Make them have 3 years, 4 years, like Pujols did for 10 years, but at least let him have 1, 2, 3 years in the big leagues, and then you can say, wow, he looks, this is the next Albert Pujols. I'll give you that. But don't say this is the next Jeter when he's in Double A. I mean, come on, man. Seriously, let's get that out of our heads. There's nobody in the minor league that is the next nobody. Nobody out there in the big leagues. They're going to become their good. Adolis, the Garcia kid, is awesome. We have that Cabrera kid pitching. We cannot say Cabrera is going to be the next Andrew Miller. He haven't even touched Triple A. I mean, come on. You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
Wait for these guys. Wait for our players to be in the big leagues, and in three years, they're killing it, having years like Paul Goldsmith, and then you can say, wow, this is the next Paul Goldsmith right here. Because he's done it for 3 years at least already. But don't come up to me and say, oh, the next Pujols, he haven't even touched Triple A yet. Come on, man. It doesn't make sense. I mean, I don't like that comparison thing either. I don't really like it at all.
Listen, and that's my thing. To dismiss guys that are proven, guys that are unbelievable, it just doesn't – these guys don't come along all the time. That's my point on Machado and Harper. They just don't come along all the time. And comparing their
numbers –
And
get used to, Jimbo.
That's just crazy.
Yeah, get used to, because they're bringing up to the big league younger and younger guys now with less experience in the minor leagues. So just get used to, because it's getting that way in the big leagues. They don't care. They're going to bring you up. If you throw 100, they bring you up. And you're going to have your struggle. Watch what Jordan Hicks, and he had a great season. He had a great season in numbers, and he had a great year, first inning through. He had a great season. But he had struggles too. But remember, he came from A-ball. See, and there's going to be a little bit more players coming in from AAA, really young, that needs a little bit more time in AAA or AA, but they're going to bring them up, and that's what you're going to see. You're going to see a little struggle. You're going to see not finding the strike zone at times. You're going to see guys striking out a lot if you're a position player, because they're not used to that AA, AAA yet, and they coming up to the big league. So they might be being pushed too fast. So get used to, because it's coming that way too.
Yeah, I can't stress enough how my main point here is this. Is anything guaranteed? No, it's not. Okay, but you make educated decision based on things. And to your point earlier, certain guys have done it and done it for a while. And we just can't dismiss that. There's no potential here. Okay. This is real deal stuff. And I'm telling you, lineup altering stuff. Stuff that you
if
can
I'm,
add.
If I'm GM, if I'm a GM of a club one day, or if I'm a manager of a club one day, Jimbo, or if I'm a coach again, I'm going to ask for the guys who done it, the guy who did it, and the guy who do it. That's what the guys I want in my club. I don't want potentially 25 home runs in a season. I don't know if that potential is going to ever happen. I want the guys who have done it. I want the guy who did it, and I want the guys who will do it. Those are the guys that I will get in my club. That's why those Yankees, 27 championships, whatever they are, 29, whatever they are, and I'm talking about old school, right? This is old school. The old school teams, you know why they won it? Because they did it, man. They did it. They had their best players in the league, and they did it. Mickey Mantle hitting home runs every time. They have, I mean, Joe DiMaggio, they had all these freaking players, outstanding players in the big leagues, and they did it. That's why they won championships. You know why Boston won last year? Because they did it. They took it to the guys. So I don't want to build my team over guys that might do it or potentially do it. You know, this is just if I'm a GM, right? I'm talking about if I'm a GM, and my personal opinion, I will look for guys who have done it, who did it, and will do it. That'll be me.
Yeah, I understand there's a fine line. I get that. I know running a team isn't just about today. It's about tomorrow. It is about yesterday. There's no doubt about that too, because you're talking about a franchise that has a fan base and has history, and it's going to be around forever. It's not going anywhere. Most teams, anyway, that is. So there's a lot to manage here, and it's not just on the field. There's a lot of emotion to manage. You got to manage the fan base. You got to manage the clubhouse. You got to manage the team. You got to manage the future. You have to manage the past. I understand all that. Okay, I'm just going to stay on this bandwagon until somebody signs the guy that I just don't know how. Especially when it comes to business, you don't look at it and say, you know, that's our next face. I mean, we can fix this problem right now. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, but even if we don't get Machado right now, this minute, Jimbo, let's put it out there for the fans. Even if we don't get Machado right now, Paul Goldschmidt and Jose Martinez in right field is going to be fun to watch.
I agree with that. I'm
telling you, it's going to be
sure.
really fun having Tyler O'Neill on the bench or you know, mixing up with Jose or whatever they want to do it. Or if Fowler is back to his ways, whatever it is. But I like Jose Martinez. I would if I have Jose Martinez hitting the way he was last year, I got Ozuna hitting now better because his shoulder will be healthy. And I have freaking Paul Goldschmidt in my freaking lineup with Yadi hitting clutch hits every time. Wow. It is going to be fun, even if we don't get Machado. I tell you that. I cannot wait to see our lineup together out there in Florida. I cannot wait.
Well, I agree. And I want to say this. I'm not acting like if we don't get Machado or Harper, we're not going to be any good. I'm to the contrary. I think we're going to be better. I really do. Good enough? We're going to find out. They got to go out and play the games. But I think they've definitely improved. The coaching staff has changed. They've improved. Some of the young arms are going to be a year older, understandably, hopefully a year smarter at the big league level. I don't know how you're not excited about it. All I'm saying is that when you have something that's really good and you want to add another a great piece to it because it makes sense and it's available, I don't know why you wouldn't do that. But then again, I'm not the one writing the check. So we'll see what happens. It's interesting to see, but I like what's happened so far. It's impossible to say they're done because there are so many players available. There are so many things to happen here that it's impossible to say that anything's done. So we'll see what happens. I'm interested to see. I'm just fascinated by the fact that there is so much available to still do. I'm fascinated by it.
Me too. I can wait. And the only problem here is that, Jimbo, the same thing that we always discuss is that the same way we're discussing this, we need to have the ownership. We need to have the guys, right? The guy who makes it happen, the GMs and the presidents and the managers, all that on board for that too, because they might be thinking something way different than what we're thinking, right? So that's another thing we gotta keep in our heads.
I would love to see another major addition to this team to really give us that feel of here we come. Not that I don't feel that way now, but man, it's that feeling of, man, we're really good and we just even got better. That's kind of where I'm at with it. But we'll see what happens. Like I said, if this is what we go into, you know, if this is what we go into spring training with, I wanted a hitter. I wanted a really good hitter, a number three hitter. We got that. I wanted a good left-handed reliever. We got that. I wanted a guy that has pitched. I don't view it. Like, I've seen people say Andrew Miller for closer. I'm not into that. I wanted a guy that's routinely pitched both the eighth and ninth inning, like a Familia or a Robertson. If we'd have got one of those two guys, I would have said mission accomplished, let's go. That being said,
We have three guys, Jimbo, that can rake. And that's leaving Yadi out. That's Yadi being a fifth batter or sixth batter. Imagine Yadi can hit. He can rake. He's became a better hitter through the ages, right? So he's good. I'm just talking about the three big guns we have. We could have Martinez. We could have Ozuna. We could have Paul Goldschmidt. Come on, man. Come on, man. Really, let's roll, man. Let's roll. If we can add up another bat like you said, oof. Man, we put fear on those Cubs. We put fear on the Milwaukee. The Reds just got better. And that Pittsburgh's always going to be good. So that division's got hard. But if we can get one more guy, that would be great. I always keep believing in the bullpen. I think we need one more good arm out there, unless they have it under their sleeve in the minor league system, and we can go with that too.
Interesting stuff, my man. Well, hey, I enjoyed it. It's great getting back with you here on the new year. I want to thank everyone for sticking with us. As like I said, we took some time off, but we're back. You know, like I said, we'll do, I don't know. I have to talk to the fellas. I know we're going to do the Monday show and the Wednesday show, until further notice. You're coming in for, winter warm-up, correct? You are coming in?
Yeah, it's going to be fun, man, and for the caravan. I think they have a caravan, too. I think they have a winter warm-up and a caravan,
for
if
sure.
I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, yeah, it's a great thing. It's a great thing. You're going to enjoy it if this is the first time you've done
I've never been in it. I've never been. I don't know how it is, either one of them. So it'll be fun, man. I think I can wait, man. I can wait to be out there. With them, man, and do this thing. It would be fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun, and you're going to love it. The fans are going to love you, the ones that haven't met you yet that get an opportunity to do so. It's going to be a great thing. I'm looking forward to you being here. I know we're talking about doing a bunch of fun stuff while you're here, so I'm excited about it, and we hope you are as well, and thank you for joining us again on Two Birds on a Bat. Don't forget, twobirdsonabat.com. Subscribe to the podcast there. Find us on Twitter, at Birds on a Bat Show. Hit us up on Facebook as well. Two Birds on a Bat, type it in, like our page, follow our page, find that pinned post, make sure you've liked it, commented on it, and more importantly, shared it, and you're eligible for the wonderful prizes. You can do that every show that we put out each week, and you just keep getting entered into the contest. So just a fun thing for us to do with you guys. Instagram as well, Two Birds on a Bat Show, find us there. Lineupmedia.fm, thank you for your support. We love being a part of what you guys got going, especially Yo Radio, the newest streaming platform that you can download for free on your mobile device. You're going to love it. We enjoy being a part of their network. Very quality people, and you guys are really going to enjoy Yo Radio. Don't forget our partners, Gators Baseball Academy, their four-pillar system. Make sure you check it out. For all of those out there that are interested, now available in Illinois as well, Missouri Gators, Illinois Gators, and the new prestigious Gators Baseball Academy for the prep guys that are just trying to get to that next level. Guys, they got you covered for all your training. This is where you get better in the offseason, folks. That's GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. Adam Smokehouse, in my opinion, the best barbecue in St. Louis. Find them on Watson Road, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, open till 7. Please don't forget that they are delivering, and you can find out if your area code, or your zip code, I should say, is in the delivery land there. But do so. Give them a call, and they'll let you know. Ask for tell Mike. You don't have to ask for Mike. Anybody can help you. But if you do get a chance to see Mike down there, tell him we said hello. Looking forward to getting over there and having some barbecue here real soon. That's Adam Smokehouse on Watson Road. Our friends at Patio's, the original party place, thank you for your continued support. Randy Green, InnovativeCompanies.com, residential, commercial, industrial, my man's got you covered. And again, all four companies underneath one umbrella, heating, cooling, electric, construction, and now the plumbing team. 35 years experience, second generation craftsman, and just a tremendous human being. That's Randy Green, InnovativeCompanies.com. To all of our social media partners out there, Nate McHenry, RelishGirl.com, appreciate you and everything you do for us. Mick Light, Art City Media, make sure you guys are checking them out. Two of the best Facebook pages out there. Our friends over at Cardinals Nation 24/7, I almost feel like they're our sister station, if that's the thing you want to use. Chris Lawless, Ron, Crash, Gino, the whole gang over there. They do a tremendous job. I know we've all been guests on all their shows and all the things that they do. But, again, I love what they got going. I think everybody will as well. But, again, just tremendous work by them. Vicky and Linda, they run I Am a Cardinal Fan, Yes I Am, and fans of Yadier Molina, two of our favorite Facebook groups. Make sure you guys check those out. Those girls do it for love. Not money, for sure, just plain Cardinal love. Great ladies, and you'll appreciate it as well. STL Cardinals, St. Louis Cardinals Nation, all the great Facebook groups out there, there's no shortage for you folks. For all of us here at Two Birds in a Bat, let's go Birds!
Go Birds!
Yeah.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.